It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Baby, it is a football Friday here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. We'll talk some Niners and Patriots. We'll talk some Steve Kerr Dunleavy, who met with the media yesterday. But we're going to start in Oakland, California once again, and we're not going to start with football. We'll start with what took place yesterday at the Oakland Coliseum and what a scene it was. What a scene it was, and what a lasting image the fans put on out there at the Oakland Coliseum as the Yays beat the Texas Rangers. But the game and the result felt secondary. It obviously was the last regular season game for now at the Oakland Coliseum and in Oakland, California for the Oakland Athletics. So we want to thank everybody who called in yesterday, who shared their memories. 888-957-9570 is the number. If you want to share what it was like to be at the Coliseum yesterday, was it a feel good? Did you feel good? Did you cry? We're going to get Brody Brazil on at about 8:30 here on the Morning Roast. And I was watching this post-game presser with the post-game show with Bip Roberts. And boy, they held it together. I don't know how they held it together, but it was one emotional show yesterday. So 888-957-9570. We say good morning to everybody out there getting off the graveyard shift. It is a payday Friday / 50 cent Friday, so we're excited about that. Whenever you get money in the bank, it's always a good thing. But boy, what a scene yesterday, Shasky, at the Oakland Coliseum.
Just a beautiful day in terms of the weather and the crowd and just the feel. I mean, I was glued to the television yesterday watching the pregame, which you referenced, the game itself, and the postgame. And, you know, Barry Zito doing the national anthem was a little out of left field.
Yeah, I would say so.
We could talk about that later on down the line. But all in all, it was just a really sad day on a variety of levels. And seeing a team get ripped out of an area, it just, you know, I look at these teams and We know the money, but like, if there aren't fans, you know, you're not driving the money, right? And I know television is, well, if people aren't turning into television to watch, then these cable companies aren't going to pay for them. I mean, look around, you know, like LIV Golf, for example, they can't get a television deal. You know why? Because no one watches. No one cares. There's no passion behind it. And clearly there's tons and tons of passion. And there's going to be a stat today that's going to go around. It's their first sellout in 5 years. It's like, well, yeah. When you dump on a fan base for 2.5 decades or more, what do you expect the consumer to do? Pick any kind of business out there. If you flip off your consumer and you kick them in the groin time and time again and slap them in the face, they're not going to come back and patronize your business. And so you got to meet them part ways. And it just, it was sad. You know, it was really, really sad seeing so many people who clearly have so much family tradition, individual tradition, wrapped up into that day. And, you know, I know a lot of people, and I believe me, I know what Brody Brazil was talking about. He kind of referenced, he's like, you're waiting for this day to come. Like, I just want it to come so we can get through it. Because I did that with my dad's funeral. It's like, I just want it to get here, and I just want to move on and just get it over with. And then you're in the middle of it, and you almost don't want it to end. And it's just really hard for everybody. And my heart goes out to all the A's fans. And, you know, I know that yesterday we opened the lines up to them. And I appreciate everybody that chimed in. And I know it's tough. It's really, really tough. I know a lot of people had thoughts of like, I don't want to give that man, John Fisher, my money.
Yeah, of course.
And I don't want to tell anyone how to fan. That's just my belief. I don't want to tell people how to be fans. So people that decided to go, those that didn't, people that have boycotted, that's your prerogative as a fan. You choose what you want to do. And so it's just, it was heart-wrenching. I'm glad it went off with no issues, you know, or any things that they could point to and say, see, these fans are great. These fans are loyal and passionate, and they showed out yesterday.
Here's the final call yesterday against Texas.
Here's the 1-2, Jankowski to Schumann.
W on a day that everybody in the Bay needed one.
Dallas Brayton, Jenny Kavanaugh, NBC Sports California. Mason Miller after the game asked about the emotions of the day.
It's probably the coolest moment of my life, baseball-wise. Sorry. It's pitching in front of a home stadium like this. All the emotion, you know, it's impossible to put it into words, and all you can do is really harness it and you go compete. You know, that's our task as a player, is to give it 110% for each of these players and each of these fans.
That's Mason Miller there. We'll play the Marcotte cut in just a second, but A's do win, and just seeing all those beautiful faces. But afterwards, after the game, it got really emotional and got sad because you see the kids there or the rail leagues just glum, just emotionless, not knowing what to do, not knowing what to think, not knowing who to root for in the future. They got their gloves or they got their Aries hats. You see older fans crying. You see the split caps make an appearance. Can no longer wear the split cap anymore. That's a thing. It's a thing of the past. The Battle of the Bay. And so Oakland did put on. They showed up and they showed out all day long in the parking lot. With that, this Coliseum looked beautiful yesterday. Packed. I miss seeing the Coliseum packed. It was beautiful. The sun came out for them. It was a gorgeous day. Ricky Henderson and Dave Stewart throwing out the first pitch. You mentioned Barry Zito, which was a little odd, singing the national anthem, just a little. But it was all good to see him back in green and gold where he did win his Cy Young. So, and then Marcotte. Can't say enough about Marcotte. The A's, they were on track last season to be this season's White Sox. They were awful the first 2 months of the season. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Me and my buddies are in a group chat. I said, hey, look, I'm riding team runs against the A's every single game. So basically, it was like a run line. Okay. So you bet on a team to score over 4.5 runs. And then it became 5.5 runs because the A's pitching was so bad. And I was just hammering it. Finally, I lost in one of the games where Texas scored 4 runs in the first inning. They just scored the rest of the way. And that was that. But Marcotte, in this situation, to manage this team, knowing that we don't know where we're going to be playing in a year, we don't know where our home stadium is going to be, and to have this team play the way they've played post-All-Star break and have some bright young stars, obviously those players respond to Marcotte. Marcotte was the perfect dude for this job to navigate this situation, and I hope, whether it's in Sacramento, whether it's somewhere else, that he continues to manage a big league club, because, boy, he kicked ass this year, Marcotte, that is.
And think about all the questions that he's had to field on a daily basis, yep, while the owner is non-existent in terms of publicly, right? And so, yeah, I mean, the guy was class personified. Hey,
the worst part about Fisher, I don't think he's around privately. I think there's players who say they never met John Fisher.
Ponte, I don't know. That guy, he's just, what a scumbag.
He's honestly the worst owner we've ever seen in sports, right? Forget the Bay Area, because that's hands down his.
What Jerry Reinsdorf's doing with the White Sox is right out of Fisher's playbook. I mean, right. he's literally trying to replicate. No, you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm like, I'm nodding my head and agree with you. And I think the screwed up thing is, again, like, there's a connection to the Raiders situation, because he is a part of why they're not the main reason, but he is a part of why the Raiders aren't here. That's a whole separate can of worms. Back to the Coliseum for just a second. Brent Rooker was being asked in the postgame, and he was like, you know, why is this place so special? Why is it so unique to all the other places that you go? And he basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said something to the effect of, like, you know, when you come to the game here, it's really all about baseball. There's really nothing else to do. And Candlestick had that same feel. And I agree with him. And new isn't always better.
Yeah.
All right. Just hear me out when I lay this out, people that are listening. Are the amenities of certain stadiums incredible, and new seats and sight lines and the ingress, egress? And there's a lot of ways you can make things nicer. Believe me, I get it. But there was something beautiful about thin concourses, okay, when you were at a game and there's not like a lounge area to go hang out. Like right now at Levi's, for example, they have this Bud Light zone where everyone's partying. And it does. It's awesome. It goes off. But you're also not necessarily in your seats waiting and watching and locked into the game.
Right.
Because when you're at the Coliseum, when you were at Candlestick, for example, the older venues, there's really nowhere to go.
Yeah, you got
to
watch.
You're sitting in your seats and you're just locked in on the actual game. And there is a beautiful old school feel to a game at the Coliseum, because you're not hanging out in the promenade because you can't see anything. This is a bunch of concrete, you know? And I see all these beautiful new stadiums that are built, and believe me, I enjoy SoFi Stadium is a great example. Yeah. And Allegiant Stadium. You and I have gone to Allegiant Stadium. I've been a couple times now. And it's beautiful, and there are sight lines, and there's areas, but there's a lot of what I call hangout areas, and you are kind of not necessarily locked in on the game.
Well, Allegiant, I think Allegiant does a good job of having, now obviously you got the area around the torch where you're standing up, but for the most part, I think Allegiant is pretty good for damn football. There's not a lot to
great.
Do. It's not a lot to do with it. And even SoFi, I think a lot of people, yeah, you got the clubs and you got the boxes, and that's football or whatnot. But for just baseball, if we're sticking with baseball, you think of Fenway. You know, you think of Yankee Stadium.
Absolutely.
You think of Wrigley Field. You think of some of the parks. Now, there's a lot of other parks where you got to have the quirkiness, like the swimming pool in Arizona. And you got Miami, which had their little quirky little center field, whatever that's.
It was the home run structure.
The home run stretch. Yeah,
they
got that out of there. The Enron Field or whatever, Minute Maid Park, whatever it's called down to Houston, they had the whole hill and everything like that. And they got rid of that and the Choo Choo Train or whatnot. But Coliseum was old school. There was an old school vibe to it. And you just think, man, if they would have just invested into that area, into that stadium, could have still been one of the crown jewels in all of baseball.
Well, I mean, like, they've got the weather that the entire Bay Area loves that weather right there. It's not super, super, super hot like Concord can be almost every day, it feels like. It's got just enough of the cool breeze, but it doesn't have the crazy, crazy, crazy fog that the Peninsula and San Francisco end up having every single day. Like, the location of that, of where that stadium is perfect in terms of freeway access in and out, BART access.
Perfect.
No, it really is.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Would it have been better or worse at Howard Stadium? I don't know.
Howard Terminal.
Other people know the area better than I do, so I don't want to talk out of turn like I'm some expert, because I am clearly not. I'm just saying that yesterday, when it was a perfect, picturesque day, and you see all those fans lining up, and you see that tailgate atmosphere carry over and spill into the actual Coliseum, the players could pick up on the vibe, and they could feel it. And there's just nothing like that atmosphere. It's so unique.
No, it's very unique. And they say goodbye to Oakland and the Coliseum after 57 years of baseball being played there. Let's go to Mike in Oakland, who's at the game yesterday. Mike, good morning to you, man. How was the game yesterday?
It was bittersweet, man. Bittersweet. You know, after moving here from Arkansas when I was about 7, 8 years old, you know, the first baseball game I ever attended was an Oakland A's game. And I had a good friend who used to work with me in a group home named Jose. He'd always take me, you know, every single weekend. We'd hit the A's game, then we'd hit up Benton's. You know, and I'm a season ticket holder. And I refused to go to any of the games this year except this last one. And, you know, my fiance, I was hounding me to take her to an A's game, hounding me. Too bad she couldn't come last night because she had to work. But it was bittersweet, man. I shed a tear, you know, because that's a big part of me. But a big part of who I am is Oakland A's, you know, going to the stadiums, creating memories with those fans, you know what I mean? So it was bittersweet, very bittersweet. And John Fisher can go to hell.
you know what I thought about? With the way the A's fans, I mean, they were first class. They were class personified yesterday with the way they acted and represented Oakland, California. I was hoping, and I was thinking this when the game was over, I hope there's a billionaire owner out there or some billionaires out there who believe in baseball and want to own a baseball team one day. And hopefully they watched that game yesterday and they watched those fans saying, you know what, we don't know if it's possible, but if we were able to bring a baseball team to Oakland, California, it has potential to thrive. It's a gold mine. If you invest into that team and into that organization and into that fan base, I still believe baseball could work in Oakland, California. I really do. So that's my emotions. Like, hopefully it's not the last time. I know it is for right now as they get ready to go to Sacramento, but hopefully there's some billionaire out there thinking, boy, John Fisher dropped the ball. If I could get my hands on the team out there in Oakland, California, boy, because they represented that well. I think they put on a great show. It could have went awry. Could have been like Cleveland when Cleveland decided to go to Baltimore. And Art Modell had to lead the state of Ohio. And they were ripping seats. They were throwing things. It was a mess. It was all bad. Now, they represented in Cleveland. I don't want to give them a bad rap for that, but it could have got ugly yesterday at the Coliseum, and it didn't. Those fans represented the way Bay Area fans truly represent, the way Oakland represents. So hopefully somebody saw that from afar.
I mean, you seen Crazy George out there. He looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, somehow he looks younger now than he did back in the 70s. It's incredible. Seeing them all do the wave and the drums. And
your boy, Banjo Man?
Yeah, Banjo Man was there. I saw Banjo Man. I'm sure he got comped to go in. but you know, one thing that I think about a lot is like when you meet random people, right? And you start like, I call it the checklist. Like, where are you from? Oh, you're from Baltimore. Are you a Ravens fan? You know what I mean? You start asking, because that's what we do. We're sickos. We're sports nuts. I think about how much of my identity is wrapped up into being a sports fan. And being a Giants, Niners, Warriors fan, and have been my whole life. And I think about now the East Bay fan whose identity is wrapped up into I am or was a Raider, Warrior, A's fan, you know? And it's just right. Like to have it ripped away from you like that, not because you guys suck, because the owners suck,
right?
Because the business model completely is crap, and because other owners that aren't even from your region are influencing this decision. I don't even really, I honestly still don't understand exactly what is influencing this decision other than John Fisher wanting a complete handout. It's just, it's freaking sad, dude. Like, it really is sad. And all the people that their identity was, is being an A's fan, I don't know if they're going to continue being an A's fan. But God, I don't even know what it would be like.
Can you even enjoy baseball?
That's what I...
Because I, you know...
Great question.
You know, can you even enjoy baseball knowing that your team is being ripped away from you? Knowing that when you look at the history books of baseball and you see the three straight championships in the 70s and you see the 89 championship and three straight World Series appearances and all the pennants and all the division championships and all the great players, can you even follow this team and can you even watch baseball anymore? Like, I don't know what A's fans are going to do moving forward.
I don't know.
You going to drive to Sacramento and represent that team? I don't know.
Here's what I would say to you, B's. I don't know, and I'm not going to tell someone what to do. I'm curious what they are going to do.
Yeah,
like Spadoni, nod your head because it looks like you're eating a slice of cake. I love you, buddy. I'm going to throw you under the bus here. It's all right. I eat M&Ms at 7:30 in the morning. Are you going to follow the team to Sacramento?
Probably not. And by the way, happy birthday, Steiny, for this delicious cake, 60 years old.
I'm so sorry for
probably not
the
be
bus.
Going to Sacramento. It's just, if anything, I'll take Benny to Giants games because I'm not going to deprive him of watching baseball or anything. Like, he wants to go to a baseball game, I will take him to Giants games.
God. That's
But that's okay. Like, I don't like, but that I'm okay with that.
You
like,
are?
Not having that common fandom. Like, we have that in other sports, which is fine. But, like, just watching him watch baseball, and if he enjoys it, he has a love for it. Like, that's all that matters to me as a parent, right? See a joy on his face.
Does a certain part of you, like, feel a little hollow considering everything that's happened? Because you are a diehard.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah,
I'm texting you during Astros A's games about the broadcast. Dallas was phenomenal yesterday.
Well, I love Dallas. Well, I thought
you get what I'm saying.
It was
you're
very
diehard.
Difficult position to be in, whether you're Jenny Kavnar, whether you're Dallas Braden, whether you're Chris Carey.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
Brody Brazil?
Yeah, I thought the broadcast was excellent. I thought they did as well as they could do under those circumstances all season long, whether it's Carey, whether it's Jenny Kavnar, whether it's Dallas Braden, whether it's Brody, whether it's Bitt, whether it's Schutte, whether it's Stu. I think everybody there at NBC Sports California did people behind the scenes as well. A lot of those people behind the scenes that work on those broadcasts, that get those broadcasts up and running. There's people who's been on that broadcast for over 30 years, 40 years. I thought they did an excellent job considering what the scenario was that was out there in the public eye, knowing that, hey, they're leaving. How do we skate around this all season long for 162? They did a phenomenal job in the booth.
I mean, it's a slow death. Like, you might be out of a job, and you're just like, you've got to be, obviously, hoping you're preparing for that, but it's just like, you're watching it throughout the season, then as Brody alluded to, it's like you want this to finally happen, but when it's happened, it's just like, how do you feel about it? And you never know until it happens.
100%.
It's, yeah.
I heard Bip Roberts, and he's like, at 4 years old or whatever age he was, he walked into that Coliseum and was like, I want to be a baseball player.
Yep.
How many people, themselves, me included, my dad, like when the first time I went to Candlestick, it's the exact same thing that I felt. And you want your child to have that same feeling. Whether they become a grammar school baseball player or not, like you want them to have that lifelong connection like you have.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So if you want to call in and share your experience about the game yesterday, go ahead and feel free to do that. Let's get into Niners and Patriots, though. Niners do have a game, but they got to get right. Some guys have been at practice. Also heard from Steve Kerr and Mike Dunleavy yesterday. Steve Kerr feels refreshed, has some things that caught my eye.
Oh my God.
Caught my ear as well, and I'm excited about basketball as well. got a lot going on in the Bay Area right now. What the Giants are going to do with Farhan Zaidi. The 49ers getting back on track. The Warriors are going to Hawaii next week. Going to be a lot of good stuff happening here in the Bay Area over the next month. Plenty of content here. But we're going to take your calls. 888-957-9570. Your thoughts on the Patriots and Niners. Your thoughts on going to the A's game yesterday. That's all open. 888-957-9570 is the number. That's brought to you by Frontier Ford. The end of summer sales event is on at Frontier Ford on Stevens Creek in Santa Clara. Now's the time to get a great deal on the new Ford car, truck, or SUV. So stop by or visit FrontierFord.com for incredible savings and drive away in your dream Ford at Frontier Ford or FrontierFord.com.
Hey, I got a lot of love for you too, as you know.
Bay Area, it's Draymond Green. The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
All right, Draymond, he's back in the practice facility. Steve Kerr ran into him yesterday. The boys are getting out. They're getting ready for Hawaii, I should say, for training camp. They're going to do something different this year. The Clippers also practicing in Hawaii as Warriors start to ramp up for training camp and get ready to roll. Media day on Monday, where Steiny and Guru will be broadcasting live from at Chase Center from 10 to 2. That'll be Monday, the day after the Niners take on the New England Patriots. Could be a day where the Giants let go of Farhan Zaidi. We shall see. I know you guys had John Shea on the Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcast, one podcast you all need to be listening to for all your Giants talk. Sam Lovett and Joe Shasky will bring you the best day of Giants talk in the Bay Area. No matter what happens during the season, good or bad, John Shea was on the podcast this week, and he shed some light on how the Chapman deal went down and the future of Farhan Zaidi. What did Shea say about that for those who haven't listened yet?
Well, in summary, we went in a lot of different directions. I did hot and cold with him. Like, does he think this player is on the team as an impact player, you know, moving forward or not? And, you know, the Luciano one, ice cold. But regarding Farhan, he got the sense that he thinks that they're going to, you know, go in a different direction. He didn't flat out come out and say that, but it sounds like a decision has already been made. They're just waiting on what's going on. Mm-hmm. And he thinks if he had to guess, he'd lean that he's probably not coming back. He had suggested a lesser role. I don't know. I don't know.
Reassigned within the organization.
Interesting. Yeah. How many people take a dramatic decrease in their position and then stay with a company? I'm sure there are people who will point out certain examples. I find it to be unlikely. So I don't know who ends up knowing. But I will say this is that he was on the other station yesterday in the afternoon, and I caught some of the stuff that was said, and I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if this is a guy who is going to be back. I don't know if this is just him going through the motions. If I was the Giants, I think I would have already made a decision one way or the other. That way he's not kind of like flapping in the wind here.
Well, what Flynn tell us earlier this week, that if you haven't made your mind up now and you need the recent stretch to figure out what to do about this situation or any situation, and he wasn't speaking specifically about the Giants. He was just saying, if an organization hasn't made their decision on what route they want to go by now, then what are we doing here? Then we need to reevaluate the organization and figure out what their plan is and what their thought process is all about. So I do believe they made a decision. Now we'll just await to see what decision that is. Are they going to keep Farhan or are they going to let him go? But we're going to get back to the A's for just a second here before we pivot to Niners and Patriots, because we do got a game. It's Operation Win. I don't care what it looks like. Could be 9-6, 10-9, 13-12, 13-10, 17-13. I really don't care. Just get a win on Sunday. Get a win on Sunday. And so we'll get into the
Niners.
Just win. And the Patriots, they do run the ball well. We'll get to Greg Bedard out there in Boston who covers the Patriots. He'll break down who the Patriots are, what they do, how they play defense, Gerard Mayo, the shoes he's got to fill with Bill Belichick. We'll get to all that, though. But if you did experience a game yesterday at the Coliseum, 888-957-9570, the floor is yours. Before we get to Lubman, listen to Mark Conte address the crowd after the game. After the final game in Oakland, after 57 years of playing baseball at the Oakland Coliseum, here's Mark Conte addressing the crowd after their final pitch.
To share with all you how privileged and honored I feel today to
this field. It hit me last night. I know it's been hitting us, all of us, at different times. For me, it was after the game last night. I walked into this stadium. My amazing wife dragged me down onto this field, and we took it all in. Keep this short, because I don't really know if I'm going to be able to make it through this. To the staff who've dedicated their lives to the Oakland A's, especially those who aren't coming with us, I am forever grateful and will never forget you. And to all of you, on behalf of my staff, myself, this team, all the past players and coaches, everyone who's worn the green and gold. There are no better fans than you guys. Thank you all for loving the game of baseball. Thank you for your lifelong support of the Oakland A's. And last, I want to thank you guys for coming out today to share this moment with the club that I'm so proud of. We've played our asses off this year. We still got three left, gentlemen. I think we all should pay homage to this amazing stadium that we've had the privilege and pleasure of enjoying for 57 years. And I ask you for one more time to start the greatest cheer in baseball. Let's go!
And that's Mark Kotze yesterday, man. What a moment. What a time. You had to be there to see it, whether it was on television or at the Coliseum. But Kotze did a hell of a job managing this club.
You know, Brody Brazil was so spot on in the postgame show. He was talking about how, like, when you're a Giants fan or a Niner fan, like, you're talking about injuries or did we perform well or did we not perform well?
That's the things we should be mad about.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, transactions and coaching decisions and not, like, is my team going to be here? Right. And I was thinking about this because, you know, like the kid playing shortstop, his dad played in the bigs, and he's probably been practicing in the backyard his entire life. Brett Rooker, every guy on the team has been practicing their whole life to get to the bigs. Mark Kotze spent his life in the bigs and then gets an opportunity to be a coach. He might not be a manager ever again.
Yeah, hell of a player at Cal State Fullerton.
I mean, honestly, hell a really underrated player. Career. And then you look at it and you're saying to yourself, like, there's a lot to just deal with of just sticking in the bigs. And then you got to deal with all this. You've reached your lifelong goal of making the bigs. You know, I'm talking about the players themselves. Right. You've reached your lifelong goal of getting to the bigs, and you're going to get peppered with questions that you have. You're making, you know, I don't know, in the baseball world, a minimal amount of money. You just got called up. You're, you know, worried about sticking in the bigs and hitting arbitration and being one of those select few, those lucky few that can stick and make it. And you're being asked about location and stadium and fan bases. And it's just so unfair what they put the players and the coaches through.
Nah, it is
so unfair.
So I hope Kotze does remain a manager, as I mentioned. Whether they go to Sacramento or not, he deserves a spot. He deserves to be a manager. He obviously navigated some tough, tough waters here for the Oakland Athletics. 888-957-9570. The Lubmans take you on the other side. He was at the game. Want to get what he felt yesterday. Obviously, we got a football game. And per Nick Wagner of ESPN, who covers the 49ers, George Kittle does expect to return Sunday against the New England Patriots. Says he's very excited to play football. And in a physical game that this could be on Sunday at Levi Stadium, having one of your more physical assets in George Kittle is definitely going to help the 49ers on Sunday. And obviously another weapon for Brock Purdy to navigate this Patriots defense against. George Kittle back, it looks like, for Sunday's game against the Pats.
Yeah, this is big. You got to get him back. He's a tone setter. They clearly need him. I saw Debo on the practice field, but I don't
practice. Just out there.
Yeah, just chilling.
Getting close.
hey, that's fine. I'll take it. Like, Jordan Elliott got hurt, apparently, the defensive tackle. He got carted off. And
it's not good.
Curtis Robinson got hurt, the backup linebacker who was a special teamer. I mean, that's what we need. We need more special teams people getting hurt when it's already a weakness on the team.
You mean our defensive lineman getting hurt? I mean, J.R. Hargrave's already out for the year.
It's huge. So getting Kittle back, I'll take it. I will take it in a heartbeat. And then that will give... That'll give a boost to the run game, but more importantly, gives a boost to Brock Purdy.
Yeah, run game is going to be interesting because the Patriots only give up 83 yards on the ground per game so far in the first three, small sample size, but they are tough up front. They're going to hit you. They're going to be physical. But the D-tackle problem with the 49ers, again, I thought edge depth was a big issue. The entire defensive line now is a big issue, and it puts a lot more heat on Nick Bosa to produce at a high level. So we'll get into on the other side here. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
I'm a lifetime procrastinator.
All right, hey, check this out. This is San Leandro Mo, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Fontaine and Shaq.
This segment is sponsored by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Thank God it's Friday, and it's a payday Friday, / 50 cent Friday. We all needed that money.
Have you seen the South Park meme? And it's gone.
Basically, credit card bills, family credit card bills, Montessori school bills.
Rent due this next week.
Rent due on Monday. We're going to get the alert about that. It's just over and over. Bills just don't stop. They just keep coming and coming and coming. So the Warriors are back in our lives, which means...
means what?
TV Pate's back, baby. Let's go. Let's go. No, I'm excited. Money time it is. Money time indeed. And lack of sleep indeed, too.
I miss that guy.
You know.
Jordan Poole.
Yeah, don't you?
I thought you meant TV Bonte.
Slubbin, you are. This is like the best performance you've had since the wedding Saturday night.
He hasn't even performed yet.
He's been on like fire.
Two words. Oh, it's just a warm up.
He's just said two
the
words.
The performance is tomorrow from Freeman's Appliance, 12 to 3 at Pleasant Hill.
Wait, what?
For the fall clearance sales
what?
Event.
Wait. What's going on tomorrow at Freeman's Appliance?
Well, it's their fall clearance sales event, as you guys know.
No, I didn't.
Come join Sam Lubman and myself, Joe Spadoni, from 12 to 3 live, Pleasant Hill, okay. Freeman's Appliance. Steiny will be out there too. Jim Cosmore's calling in.
No way.
Yep, it's going to be a great time. You got those live working vignettes. Very cool.
So
it's
going to be a party this weekend. I need some appliances for the River Cabin.
Freeman's Appliance.
Well, I think I'm going to head over there.
But I usually have a lot of really great brands that you can get too.
Well, but you know what? No, this is about Lubman and Spadoni. Forget you and your appliances, Shasky.
Well, I want the hookup.
My boy Matt up there, Freeman's Appliance, Tiki Store Matt, my boy Matt up there, you got to go meet him. We talked Warriors basketball, Niners football on the championship float one year the entire time. Oh. This guy was incredible. But Lubman and Spadoni live on remote. Oh, my God. My guys are growing up, man. The babies at 95.7 a game are in a big spot here. Freeman's Appliance.
Mark Grandy, engineer, too. Look at us taking over.
Mark Grandy's engineering?
Oh, well, that's scary. Down?
Well, you got to help you get on the line here.
What happened to Farhan? He's getting bumped down.
I got Tim Jordan on speed dial just in case.
Why is it Tim Jordan? He's been milking this place for so many years.
He's the president of engineering operations now. That's why. He's elevated himself. Yeah, he's the Farhan Zaidi.
They made up a title for him, like Lucas Alexander. The great Lucas Alexander.
Brand manager, assistant director.
Director of sports. What does that actually do?
He directs sports.
Need me to get your credentials?
I've seen him field the ground ball. He's not directing anything in sports.
Well, he's director of sports, not director of ground balls.
But Lubman and Spadoni live on remote. Lubman, make sure you pass the basketball, pass the rock. You know what I'm saying? Just look. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fine. The locks. Bob's is coming out there.
Mom's going to stop by.
Pops?
I'm going to see if Dad's around, see if he can stop by.
The girlfriend?
She's busy. She's got to furnish a new house, so.
Oh, she got a new house.
Yeah, no, she's...
Damn, you hit the jackpot.
I know, man. I got my sugar mama.
You better hope she's asleep right now, man.
Oh, my God.
You better hope she's asleep.
Give me the Michael Irvin. Oh, my God.
Not only did Lovey go all the way black, because he ain't never went back after going black, but now he's got a sugar mama? What?
Adam, it's too much for me.
So now, hey, now you're doing a show at Freeman's Appliance. Look, he's doing a show, Shasky, at Freeman's Appliance. Now you get to buy appliances for your girl.
People want to know what time tomorrow.
12 to 3.
But the fall clearance sales event is all weekend starting today. So there you go.
Wow. I want to get like a new washer and dryer for the cabin. Something that's durable, simple, easy, I can stuff into a closet, you know? So I think I'm going to have to go check that out.
I thought you were thinking about washer and dryer for your third house.
Just what?
Yeah, it was too easy.
Not putting in some bedrooms downstairs in the basement.
You can't get too many appliances because you guys are killing me, dude.
You guys are killing me. The Freedman's already had a big sale that my boy Alex hooked me up on, and I got this big sliding glass door for the back of the house. I can't wait till it's done. Dude, I'm also going to be broke for the rest of my life. But other than that, we're good.
I mean, that's already done. You're lucky you just don't have a daughter. You have a son. Because the daughter's quite expensive. Quite expensive.
I know. Imagine having both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you serious?
That's why your boy is probably one and done in that department. I got my one. I'm good.
Bonte, I'm the Will Avery of parenting.
I've had enough.
No, 23. I'm looking. Look, my guys are alive or remote at Freeman's Play. That's a big spot. That's a big, big spot. So I can't wait. Who's driving? Who's
I'll probably be driving.
You'll probably be driving. Yeah. You'd be setting him up, yeah. Throwing lobs of love.
Of course, dude. I got to get his thoughts on Farhan Zaidi. Is this the last weekend of Farhan Zaidi with the San Francisco Giants?
What was the buzz at the A's game? Did anyone like have any feel? Because it was like a who's who of media out there, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of... I mean, the buzz was... I mean, there was a few people there who were just like, let's just get this over with. But there was a lot of just kind of like... You know, it was like a happy sadness, if that makes any sense. Like, it's... It was like a funeral atmosphere. Like I would say it was more of like a celebration of life, like a celebration of an era there where it's like, let's not be angry that this is happening. Let's be happy that we had so much great time, you know, so many great times that took place before this day. But no, underneath the surface, there was like a simmering frustration, but that was definitely not the dominant, you know, emotion.
You're misinterpreting me. I meant out at the A's game, was there murmurs of what's going on with Farhan?
I thought you asked me what the atmosphere was like in the game. I misunderstood the question. My apologies.
No, that's my fault. I maybe didn't phrase it properly.
No, you're good.
Miscommunication on the football field.
Miscommunication. Yeah.
They see Daniel Jones and Malik Neighbors. I thought you were going deep, but I threw it shorter.
It was Nick Sorensen, Justin Jefferson.
Yes, okay, absolutely.
There you go.
Bunch of communications majors.
George Odom press man. We really
did anyone in the media have any insight on Farhan's job status?
No, Farhan Zaidi was in no way, shape, or form on anyone's mind yesterday in the Coliseum. Yesterday was a Farhan-free day, and it was, very very relaxing to not have to think about that for a day.
And that's the other thing, too.
Farhan's cooked.
I mean, why the hell would anybody be thinking about Farhan at the A's last game?
He is a former Oakland A's.
All the former Oakland A's.
There hasn't one A's fan has never claimed him.
He's the guy that got Yoenis Cespedes. That was his claim to fame. Cespedes is not 38, by the way, is he, Joe? Yoenis Cespedes, 38 years old.
There's not a chance in hell that man is 38. He looked 50. I saw that they had like a reunion and Cespedes showed up. I go, is that Yoenis Cespedes? He almost was unrecognizable. He was so old.
I miss him, man.
What?
I miss Cespedes.
He was amazing. But there's no way in hell he's only 38. I'm not even trying to be that guy. I'm just saying, I just don't believe him.
Dude, he was going to when they sent like what did they send like seven dudes to the All Star game or something? And Cespedes is sitting there, and he's still learning English, and he's just sitting there, and they're just speaking English and asking everybody else questions. Cespedes is just sitting there the whole time, just smiling, like I'm just chilling. And then he gets traded to Boston. It's like, what are you doing? I love Cespedes.
He wasn't that tall.
Dude, that throw.
He's only like 5'9",
5'10". Yeah.
He's like jacked. But yeah, exactly. He's a straight brick house.
Like, nobody believed Julio Franco at his age, right, for so many years.
Bro, he played it until he was 47. the age he said he was, 47, I swear he's 55.
He started playing in the independent league. He started playing.
Julio Franco 65 or something, right?
He couldn't put the bat down.
the guy is Julio Franco's an all-time legend. So Lubman, nobody's thinking about Farhan Shaskin at the A's game.
I was just thinking that when you have all of the media converging on a place, that there'd be some gossip.
No, not really.
No, not a whole lot.
Maybe I'm too worried. I am worried he's coming back. I'm going, okay, either they're allowing him to flap in the wind here with all these media hits, or like, what's going on here?
Oh my gosh! Very interesting day on Monday.
We're going to the final game at the Coliseum. A's, no life matter. And, oh man, did you hear Farhan?
Well, put your journalist cap on. I mean,
no, this is the A's game.
What are you talking about?
The Giants are back at Oracle Park tonight.
Yeah, but okay, what I'm saying is that all the people who cover like sports in the area, we're all converging in what, I don't know if you listen, but Tim Kawakami seems to be having a change of heart, like the television show. It sounds like he's hearing, feeling, or whatever, I don't want to put words in his mouth, that Farhan's probably on his way out the door.
Probably.
I just don't know what the holdup is. I want to get a jump on start, like, looking. Well,
I mean, what's 3 days, man?
They couldn't wait to slam the door on Gabe's face.
They already knew Bob Melvin was available, and they was like, yeah, we're going to get Bob. Bob's going to get let go from San Diego. They're not going to push us back on that. So, look, man, he'll be gone. Maybe it'll be Monday. Maybe they'll try to steal the thunder from the Niners and Media Day, Warriors Media Day on Monday by firing Farhan Zaidi. Monday could be an epic day. And what could be an epic week in Bay Area sports history with everything happening to the A's, with what's going on with the 49ers, you got the Warriors back on the floor, and now you got the Giants maybe going in a new direction. Who the hell knows what's going on? Who the hell knows if he's going to be back or not? I've wavered back and forth. I'm trying to stick to my guns here with the sources telling me, hey, they don't make the playoffs, he's gone. Well, they're eliminated. I don't know if he's going to be gone or not. But they said the day after the season, what I was told, told you right after the deadline, the day after the season, if the Giants don't make the playoffs, he's as good as gone.
Well, I'm thinking about like Monday, and I've been thinking about this all weekend. It's like Niners got the Patriots, and this version of the Patriots feels very ho-hum, right? Just in the sense of like drawing up fervor, right? And we can get into the paths, but let's say the Niners just handle business and they take care of the Patriots. And Farhan does get released. Like I'll be interested to see what the tone is of everyone. But if the Niners lose to the Patriots, we're at code red. Now, I know Dante Whitner thinks we're already at code red, yeah, but I'm letting you know this right now.
You're at code red too, huh?
This is a must win. If there ever was a must win in a 17-game season, and I get it's long, and whatever, like, can you go 1-3 and still make the playoffs? Absolutely. You go 1-3, you are I am eliminating you from the Super Bowl word.
Well, you're not in the Super Bowl division right now.
No, but like, the Niners can't lose this game. And the reason why they can't lose this game is because, and I'm doing a Bonte here, and I don't like, it's week to week, the league is week to week, I get all that. Dude, just the schedule is too hard. The schedule's too hard to make up enough ground to where you're not limping into the playoffs. Well, it's the reality is you have to win this game.
And you order the code red.
I think about losing back-to-back games.
If they lose this one.
Well, if they lose this one, that'd be a 3-game losing streak. That'd be back-to-back losses to the Rams, who had, and we couldn't name an offensive lineman, couldn't name a defensive player outside of the 2 D linemen from Florida State. That's it. I still don't think people could do that. And then losing to the Patriots would be all-time bad. Now, look, that spread is high, 10 points. And I'm not biting on that because New England, I'm not.
10 points?
10 points.
This Niner team deserves not to, no way do they deserve 10.
I think it's up to 10.5.
Is it up to 10.5? That's short money then. That's the gamblers betting early on the Niners. Maybe they do blow out the Patriots, but the Patriots have had they had a mini bye. They got destroyed by the New York Jets on Thursday Night Football. They've had a mini bye. They're 1-2. They played really competitive football the first 2 weeks. They're only giving up 83 yards on the ground in the first 3 games. I like Mayo as coach. I like Coach Mayo. He's not bad, but you look at their offense and their lack of playmakers. I mean, I also had a Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson. They got a guy, DeMario Douglas, who plays in a slot.
Oh, I like him. I'm in fantasy.
He's not bad, of course.
A couple points here, a couple points there.
Hey, KJ, your fantasy team must be doing bad if you got DeMario Douglas on that roster.
Well, everybody's hurt. I don't know if you're paying attention to the league right now, but the whole league's hurt.
Saquon Barkley, number one fantasy player right now. Feel good about that.
If only the New York Giants did what I said that they should have done, which was, I don't know, keep their best player. By the way, the other part about the Saquon thing,